Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 18, we find this reading, "And you servants, be in subjection to your own masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is acceptable with God, if a man endureth griefs, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when you sin and are buffeted for it, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you shall take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died unto sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." Through verse 24. A most informative and interesting reading indeed. "And you servants," now we've noted many times that these are household servants, according to the footnote, probably chattel, probably purchased with money. They were thus the slaves of their master. Now, what is the instruction? Let's notice carefully. "And you slaves, you servants, be in subjection to your own masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, those who treat you well, but also to the froward, those who may not treat you quite so well as the others." Now, the question arises immediately in the minds of the average person. Why? I mean, why should the friends, we need to understand who we are, why we are here, and the fact that everything that I observe with the physical senses will soon be gone. Why am I in this old world? Now, what is the goal of successful living? Well, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, Jesus said, you remember, you've lost it all. Matthew 16 at verse 26. So in full recognition of the fact that I am totally dependent upon God, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning, James chapter 1 at verse 17, then I am blessed in consequence of my submission to him in the hollow of whose hand I dwell. Somebody says, yes, but now being a servant, we have all kinds of examples in Scripture, do we not? I remember Romans 15, verse 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Go back, if you would, to Joseph, the son, you remember, of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. When he was 17 years old, his 10 older brethren sold him into foreign slavery. That caravan of Ishmaelites carried him down into Egypt, and he was purchased by Potiphar, and thus became a slave in Potiphar's household. Now, he could have been, as many would be, negative and hateful. He could despise his brethren. He could be waiting for a time for vengeance. He could get even... No. Joseph was a servant of God. And so he trusted the Lord. He prayed to God. He lived in God's presence. Yes, he had to serve. Yes, it wasn't pleasant all of the time. There were negative things in this world. But that's all material. That's all momentary. That's physical. He put his trust in God. Well, when you do that, what do you do? The best you can. Now, that's the example that Christ set for us. In serving God, you are the best employee on the job. Because, you see, you never labor with eye service as men pleasers. No, but in recognition of whose servant you really are, and the fact that you're going to receive again for the deeds that you do, then you serve your fellow man conscientiously because you're actually rendering service to God. Well, say, what does that do for you in this life? Well, now you stop to think about it for a moment. Even indifferent people, I mean people who are not necessarily spiritual-minded. Hey, when you're conscientious, when it's observed that you are an honest human being, when it is noted that you are a diligent servant, you're doing the best you can to accomplish the assigned task, hey, that's appreciated. You say it. Even by negative people, by gross sinners, that kind of thing is appreciated. So Joseph, in his service to God, made the best slave in Potiphar's household. Oh, well, ultimately, he was placed over the entire household. I mean, everything is under his charge. He is a respected slave. Suppose he'd gone down there, though, negative, and he hated Potiphar. I don't, I'm a free man. I don't need to be in slavery. You can't buy me with money. Friend, you can lose your life and be unhappy and miserable, and most people are in this life because they fail to recognize that the blessings of life, the true blessings of life, are from the Lord. And these blessings accrue to those who are faithful in His service. What did you say, Peter? And you bondservants, be faithful. Respect your masters. Oh, indeed, with all fear. Afraid of your... No. Respect, honor. Why should you do that? Oh, for this is acceptable with God. If a man endureth griefs, suffering wrongfully. Sure, it's not right for one man to indenture another. No. Slavery is not a proper concept with right-thinking people who understand who they are and from whence they came. No, sir, slavery ought not be practiced. But in that day, it was. Oh, and it could be that it could happen again in certain areas. I need to remember that when life is at its very zenith, I mean the best it can be, I'm servant of God. When life is at its lowest ebb, I mean when physically I'm being oppressed and I don't have the necessities of life and I'm being mistreated, oh, I'm servant of God. Oh, well, when one is faithful to God, it'll work out. Yes, sir. The giver of every good and every perfect gift. Oh, He will sustain you in every area of life if you maintain your fidelity to Him. If in all that I do and wherever I may be and with whomever I may be associated, I recognize that first and last, I'm servant of God. Friends, that'll work. That's the basis on which Romans 8, verse 28 is true. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to His purpose. No. It doesn't mean that all physical things are going to be comfortable and I'm going to be filled always with the very finest food and I'll wear the neatest and richest clothing. No. All of that is materialistic. No. But there will be a deep-seated sense of satisfaction. There will be a security not understood by the material world in general. And it will make you a servant, yes. And it will make you a very good friend of those with whom you associate, say. Or it will make you a reliable and true source of example and instruction. That's right. Well, you know, that's going to be appreciated in this old world. There's no question about it. So then why should I do that? Oh, for hereunto were you called. For Christ also suffered for you, doing what? Oh, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. You know, Christ is deity. We've learned that many, many times. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. They call His name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Deity clothed in flesh. Right. He created this material universe. Oh, yes, John chapter 1, you remember verses 1 through 3. No question about that. I mean, He could speak and calm the raging sea, cause the wind to be still. Right. Well, why did He come to do the will of the Father who sent Him? Well, then, having created this earth and having control over the physical affairs of this world, He probably had an abundance. He wore the best clothes, ate the... He was born in a stable and cradled in a manger. Oh, and I remember that he said in Luke 9, verse 58, the foxes have holes, the birds of the heavens have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Well, someone says, Lord, you're not going to accomplish anything. You won't accumulate anything. You're not going to accumulate anything anyway that lasts, friend. No, no. Everything in this world is temporary. And as we've said 1,000 times, you didn't bring it and you won't take it. And while you're here, it isn't yours. The earth and the fullness thereof belong to God. And if you had everything that man could desire, friend, you'll reach an age where it's not important. You will reach an age if you live long enough when you don't want anything and you don't need anything. The Lord provides and... if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, well, friends, you've lost it all. This is materialistic. Why did Christ come? Oh, to do the will of Him who sent Him. Hebrews 10 at verse 7. Why am I here? To follow Christ. John chapter 21, verse 22. Oh, in the accomplishment of the will of the Father. That's right. Yeah, but someone says, preacher, I'm just human. Man, I'm clothed in flesh, and I have my weaknesses. Well, that's what he's talking about. That's what he said. He left you an example that you should follow in his steps. An example, yes, sir, in every area of life. Sure, the Lord recognizes the fact that I'm clothed in flesh. Or he knows my limitations and my helplessness, literally, in this old world. So he understands the need for leadership, does he not? Yes, sir. Focal point. I mean someone to look up to, some rule or principle by which my life can be governed that gives direction to my thinking, to my conduct. That's so very important. Leadership is vital, and that's been demonstrated through history time and time again. Friend, vital battles have been won or lost depending upon leadership. There's no question about that. Leadership is indispensable. Well, that's demonstrated time and again in the Word of God. Just imagine what chaos would have resulted in the wilderness had it not been for Moses leading the children of Israel. Sure, it's bad enough with Moses doing the best he could. He was liaison between God and God's people. And he had to straighten them out many times. He prayed to God, and God gave him strength, and God punished the wicked. He blessed those who were faithful. But, why, there were times when they wanted to return to Egypt. Part of them would have been in the wilderness, part of them on the way back to Egypt, half of them would have died. I mean, they leadership, focal point. Moses led the children of Israel through 40 years of wilderness wandering, and he did it relatively successfully. Sure, you're dealing with people. There's going to be negative circumstances. Pleasant? I'm sure it wasn't. You ask old Moses about it. I'm sure that it wasn't pleasant in every aspect. Oh, and after Moses' death, Joshua led the children of Israel across the River Jordan, and they occupied a land literally flowing with milk and honey. And this man, Joshua, was so faithful to the Lord that the record says that the children of Israel were faithful to God during the tenure, the lifetime of Joshua. Oh, and during the lifetime of the elders that outlived Joshua. That is a tremendous influence, is it not? Oh, I remember toward the end of his life, he gathered the leaders of Israel together, heads of fathers' houses, the priests, and so on. And he said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods that were beyond the river, which your father served, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. There's so many lessons to be learned from that. I'm an individual. The Lord said, follow me, verse 22, John chapter 21. And no matter what the world may do, the direction that mankind may take, I can focus upon Him who is my example. I can order my life by the instruction and example of Him who died to redeem my soul, and I can stand in a right relationship with the Almighty. But not only can I stand in a saved relationship with God, I can know the peace that passeth understanding, the fullness, the happiness, and the joy of being aware that He is the giver of every good and every perfect gift. And deep-seated, genuine, lasting satisfaction is not in the flesh. Now, that can't be. You see, this whole body is going to undergo changes, and there's going to be affliction, there'll be pain, and ultimately probably terminal disease, and it is appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews 9:27. Oh, and that verse continues after this, the judgment. And I will be judged by what? Whether or not I gained the world? Whether or not I was the strongest, healthiest individual upon... No. I'll be judged by the Word of God. In keeping with my relationship to the Almighty, in my recognition of the leadership and example of my Lord, He set the proper example. Leadership is vital. I need to keep my eye upon the Master. Now, a physical being in a physical world, most people are governed by the physical senses. Yes, sir. Yeah, they seldom lift their eyes to the true significance of life. You see, you can't stay here, just as we said, Hebrews 9, verse 27. Ultimately, you're going to pass. Yeah, but that's just this old physical. You're going to live forever. What are you making preparation for while you tabernacle in the flesh? Well, to gain the world, man, to have this much property or a bank account that's a... Friend, you're going to leave all that. You and I will live forever. This is the significance of the example that Christ set for us. Man must have adequate and proper leadership. You remember, after the death of Joshua and the death of those elders that outlived Joshua, the people of Israel turned in their hearts to the idol gods of the heathen with whom they were surrounded. They turned away from Jehovah. He had to raise up judges. 15 different judges were raised up. Now, were these judges perfect? No. No, but they were faithful men. And they served the Lord to the best of their... They provided a focal point. They provided direction. Leadership is vitally important. There's no question about it. For instance, the home must have parents. Now, you just think for a moment. God blesses you, and you love that young lady, and she returns that love, and you get married, and children come along, and that is a genuine blessing from the Lord. Well, just suppose, of course you can't imagine this, but just suppose that you go your way, she goes her way, and hey, you leave those young babies at the head. What's going to happen? Well, if you stay in the house, I mean, you kind of hold this family together as a group. Oh, if you don't set the right kind of example, if you don't give close attention to what your children are doing, where they're going, with whom they are associating, friends, there's going to be problems. Because that child is as innocent as the driven snow. I mean, he is a pure-minded, but he is learning. And everything about him is brand new. And being an intelligent creature, he's going to experiment. What will he experiment in? I mean, where will he go? What will he do? That's parenting. That's what it's all about. The home must have parents. I think we understand that. And one of the problems in our land today is that parents have abdicated. They have deserted their children. They are involved in recreational activities and pleasures of their own, worldly affairs, and very few children today are being instructed in the love of God. It is a tragedy unimaginable. Now, remember that God said to ancient Israel, and we've noted it many times, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, oh, he said, these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt speak of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. They shall be for signs upon thine hands. Thou shalt bind them for frontlets between thine eyes. Upon thy gates and upon the doorposts of thine house shalt thou write them. What is God telling Israel and us today with regard to parenthood and the development, the maturation, the growth of our children? The prime responsibility of parenthood is to instill within the hearts of offspring who they really are and the basis upon which they can build a successful life. They need to come to love God and to know and respect His Word. Now, if we aren't careful, and there's nothing wrong with this, I understand, we send them to school for a good education. Hey, that's good. That's parental responsibility. We do that. We want them to attain all of the learning in this material, physical world they possibly can. That's true. Yes, sir. And we'd love for them to hold on a good job and have an income that provides for them. That's great. That's not primary. That's not primary. You see, if they miss out on who they really are, if they are not taught the love of God or in the truth that makes men free, they're going to miss it all. And they're going to stand in judgment with you. And friends, this world, you have to leave it. Everything here, of course, will be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse 10. And I can't stay here very long, but I will live forever. Responsibility of parenthood, oh, the teaching and exemplification of God's Word. That's the purpose of parents. That's what parents within the home are actually for. So the home, and we know this, needs parents. You say. And you think about leadership for a moment. Nations need presidents or kings. That is, there must be a focal point of government. There must be a source of authority, instruction, limits within which the citizenry is governed. Well, I think we understand that. There's no question. Nations need kings, need presidents, need rulers, leaders. We see the shortcomings of such in many instances today, do we not? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had, totally dedicated, completely honest men who were concerned with the progress of the nation and the welfare of the people under their jurisdiction? If that were their prime concern in leadership, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Of course. In this whole world, we're going to have to deal with every kind of attitude and conduct. We understand that. Well, somebody says, that's just it, preacher. I mean, they knock you down and you just don't know where to go, and they demand this of you, and they take, whoa, 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 whoa. They can't take anything from me that's important. Oh, yeah, they could take place where you live. Yeah, they could take your income. There's no question about that. Oh, but I'm an immortal soul. I won't need any of that very long. Anyway, I'm going to stand before God and be judged by His Word. Oh, and Jesus set a perfect example for me so that I may order my conduct in such way as to be accepted of God. You think about it. You think about this principle of, leadership. Suppose you send your children to school. And maybe in this particular school you have 1,600 students. And you get there and this age group goes into this room and that age group goes into that room and there are no teachers. What? No, well, not only would they not learn anything, it'd tear the building up. Well, somebody says, no, these are, children are children. We understand that. As we said, that's what parenting is all about. They're going to experiment. And if there's no leadership, if there's no direction, if there is no discipline, well, there's no limit. No. Schools must have teachers. That's what learning is all about. And our school systems today need a great deal more discipline than they are allowed to exercise. That's it. And it's a strange thing about us if we aren't careful. We pay men who are engaged in things that are absolutely worthless millions of dollars a year. And we pay those who are instructing our children in the fundamentals and the basics and the foundation of living a bare minimal wage. We have things in reverse in this whole life if we aren't careful. Ah, but we need to realize that we are the servants of God. We give our lives to the Lord. We do the best we can with what we have, and the Lord will provide. You see, hereunto were you called. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. May God help us so to do.